Amen. Would you turn with me to the gospel, the first epistle of John. First epistle of John. And going to the third chapter. This message is about the sonship of the believers. And it expresses such beautiful thoughts. It's been with me for several days and just heavy on my heart. And John addressing this letter to the, it's called a circular letter meant to be read in various churches. He says in the beginning, opening verse of this third chapter, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." I want to stop the reading right there. A love of immeasurable condescension. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh, praise God, that we should be called the sons of God. In Romans, Paul wrote, he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." In Galatians, Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Creator gave his love to his creature whom he had created in his own likeness. He made him capable of fellowship with him. Looking upon him, he pronounced him very good. But our text does not refer to man as he was created by God in the garden, but as he was when marred by sin against him. The infinitely holy bestowed his love upon the ungodly, the sinful. The unspeakable glorious upon the deeply degraded. He did not give his love to the amiable, the attractive, the worthy, or the lovable. He did not bestow it upon those who were merely immeasurably beneath him, but upon those who were in active rebellion against him. Think about it. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I go to Ephesians. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy," I like that, "for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Once we were lost and undone, had no hope, thinking we were doing okay, going on with life, trying to fulfill the desires of our mind and our hearts. And God saw us afar off, and God pursued us. His blessings were running after me and running after you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. He was not seeking his own, but our well-being. Oh, Lord, help us. Behold what manner of love. It's hard to comprehend what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. How did you get here this morning? What brought you to this place? Well, my parents, I was raised in the church because my parents came to this church. Well, there's more to it than that. Go back a little bit more. How did your parents get here? Well, someone may have testified to them. Someone may have invited them. The Holy Spirit may have somehow got a hold of them and spoke to their hearts and drew them to the kingdom. Or met a friend at work, or married someone who was in the church, or found the Lord. Somehow the Holy Spirit worked and brought us to a place where the truth is preached, where the presence of the Lord is real, where the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts. Praise God. Behold what manner of love. You and I did nothing to deserve this. We were born in sin, conceived in sin, flawed from the very birth, praise God. But oh, God in mercy saw us afar off. Praise God. I think of that song. Lisa, would you help me? Child of the King. This kind of says it all to me. Give me a note. Oh, that's it. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Let's go to the second verse. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Sing it with me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing.
Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Aren't you glad this morning? Praise the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Praise God. And he says, it doth not yet appear. Oh no. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. Not yet apparent what we shall become when we finally, he becomes visible, but we'll be just like him. Praise God. Paul writes to Corinthians. If I could turn to that very quickly here. He says in this 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he talks about the resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise his name. Praise God. In the 13th chapter, he speaks. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Oh, praise God. What's this glorious body going to look like? I don't know. We're going to be changed, transformed. What we shall appear, it's not yet clear. But it doesn't matter, praise God. I know it's glorious, praise God. I know it's going to be wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. And in this final verse, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What is your hope this morning? What is your hope? Drill down. What is your hope this morning? For a good career, family, healthy children. Those are all good things. But what is our deepest hope? What is our hope? Our hope is to be with him forever. And our hope is to take as many with us as we can. Amen. To see him in that day, praise God. This life is just going to be for a short time, even whether it's 90 or 100 years. It's still a short time in the face of eternity. Every man that hath this hope, oh, praise God, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That word purify this morning is where I want to dwell for a few moments. To purge, to cleanse, to unburden, to deliver, to relieve, to redeem, to sanctify. Oh, praise God. Jesus writes says in Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, purify us. Strengthen us. Help us to cleanse our hearts. Everyone that has this hope, everyone that has this hope, oh, praise God, we are sanctified because of the Holy Spirit. But you see, we're still in this humanity, and there's still imperfections, and there's still weaknesses. And every day we strive to be more like Christ. Every day we ask the Lord, help us, transform us into your image. It's not an overnight process. Oh, no. It takes prayer. It takes consecration. It takes dedication. Praise God. Oh, praise God, to be holy as Christ is holy. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this day. Praise God. This hope anticipates Christ's coming. Paul writes to Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrew, the writer says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope set before us is eternal life. Eternal life with Christ Jesus, praise God. You know, in our younger days, that sounds so far off. Well, I got a life to live. Yes, you do. But, you know, we want to keep our eyes fixed. We want to keep our eyes on the eternal prize. Don't get distracted and bogged down in this life, but to keep our eyes on the prize. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. Purge ourselves from all the things that are detrimental to our spiritual walk. I'm not going to give you a laundry list of those things. You and I have to individually seek the Lord and say, Lord, would you examine me? Would you cleanse me? Would you help me, Lord, to overcome? You see my weaknesses or my faults or my failures. You see the way I am, this character flaw. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about the besetting sins. There are sins that all of us have that are besetting sins that seem to come up on us, that are always there, that we have to fight constantly. And the Lord says we have to overcome, we have to set them aside, praise God. In Corinthians, Paul writes, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He writes in Titus again, if there man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge himself from the vain things that we hear, the distractions, the sins that beset us. Purges himself from these. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us. Help us as we go along this Christian journey. Cleanse us from every sin stain. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Our example is Jesus, not someone next to us, not the pastor, not the assistant, not the deacons, not a Sunday school teacher. Our example is Jesus, because every one of us is flawed. With our best efforts, we still fail the Lord at times, and we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, praise God. He's our example, praise the Lord. In the first epistle, in the first John, the first chapter, it says, for if we walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's desire is that we purify ourselves, purge ourselves from these things. And we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to do that, praise God. We need his grace and his strength, praise the Lord. In Romans, this familiar verse that we've read often, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, would you help us? Because as we live in this world, we become infected. We become affected by the world, by the thoughts and by the philosophies of the world. And we need to stay in communion with the Lord. And we need to, Lord, help us to draw closer to you, that the Holy Spirit would work the work in our hearts and in our minds and illumine us, praise God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Do we ask ourselves that question? I say, Lord, do I ask myself that question? Am I being conformed to this world? Am I following the ways, Lord? Am I following you? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart? Have I walled it off that the Holy Spirit is blocked, but oh Lord, help me to open up and allow the Spirit of God to begin to talk and say, do this and do that and danger here or watch out for this or stay away from that, whatever the case may be. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Oh, praise God. Oh, help us, Lord. Peter writes in his epistle, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the end of time, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, praise God, and blameless. In the first epistle of Peter, he writes, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What is holiness? Being separate, set apart, a separateness that entails moral purity. Be holy. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is to make us holy. You know, some people, I've said this before, some people, it come to church, want the Lord to make them happy, and the Lord does make us happy, but that's not the main intent. The Holy Spirit's mission, God's mission, make us holy. And that comes through the purification and surrender and allowing the Spirit of God to help us to take away those imperfections and those things in our lives that are detrimental to our spiritual walk. Someone wrote, things that contribute to holiness, honor God, simple, show love, honor parents. Young people, middle-aged people, are you listening? Honor parents. Serve others. Abstain from sin. Your conduct and behavior in the places where we visit most frequently. Be holy, for I am holy. Oh, praise God. The Lord has done such a marvelous work that we came from a dark past. We came from a lost estate. You look at an innocent child that's born, and this child is a sinner. Grow up to be a sinner without God's presence and God's power. And he took us out of that environment and caused us somehow to come in contact with the gospel message, the truth, to come in contact with him, praise God. We had an experience, an audience with Christ. However it was in a prayer meeting, it may be in our prayer closet, someone witnessed to us, however it came, many different ways. The Holy Spirit spoke to us. And there was conviction that came. The presence of God began to touch us, and we felt something that was different, that was real. There's something about this. It's not just, well, the thing that people do is they go to church. No, that, not so much anymore, but that's not, it was more than that. It was more than just going to church or reading the Bible or reading about Christ. There was a relationship that began to form, and the Holy Spirit began to move upon us, and we became hungry for the things of God, and we began to read his word, or that we heard the word of God preached, whatever the case may be. And it began to speak to our hearts. And said, you need to change, and you need to draw closer to me. And there's joy, and there's peace, and there's satisfaction, and there's hope in Christ. Something we can't find in this world, something that all around us is just chaos and trouble. But in Christ Jesus, we find peace. In the midst of the storm, he is with us. We're like in the eye of the hurricane where it's peaceful. The winds may be howling around us, but in the eye of the hurricane, it's peaceful. That's where Christ is. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh my God, do we appreciate what he did? I know we do. I say, Lord, give us a deeper appreciation. Behold what manner of love. We were in active rebellion. Mankind was in active rebellion against God. And yet he sent his son to die in our stead, to pay the price of our sin, a price that you and I could not pay, a price that was too great, a price that we have no capability of ever paying. But Jesus died, praise God. And here we are this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Doesn't yet appear what we're going to be. We don't know we don't know how we're going to look, but we know it's going to be good. When we shall see him face to face, praise God. What a glorious day that will be. We sing that song from time to time. What a glorious day that will be. Lord, help us to purify ourselves. Help us to continue to find that place, Lord, where you continue to help us, strengthen us, and deliver us. I'm going to close right here. I pray the Holy Spirit begin to just bless you, encourage you this morning. What manner of love? It's hard to comprehend. There's no words in the human language that can really convey it. You have to experience it and know it, praise God. Say, Lord, thank you for bringing me out of darkness, out of the pit, into the marvelous light. And oh, I'm a work in progress. We're a work in progress, are we not? There's still rough edges that need to be honed off, and there's still things that need to be severed and things that need to be purged. But oh, God, help us as we continue to follow you. Every man that hath this hope, do you have that hope this morning? Is it alive and well in your soul that if the Lord were to come this afternoon, is your hope alive? Are you going with the Lord this morning? That's the question. Are you going with him? Oh, praise God. I want that assurance, and I know you do too. We sang Wednesday night at the end of the service, I mean, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Is this your story this morning? Praise God. Let it be your story. It can be your story this morning. Praise God. Lord, help us. Thank the Lord for all that he does. May his name be praised.